In our first reading today from Ezekiel, the people of Israel are complaining against God, saying that he's not being fair to them. And the Lord's response is, am I not being fair, or is it your ways that are unfair? And he says, if a wicked man turns away from his wickedness and does what is right and just, he will live. But if somebody who is righteous turns away from righteousness and commits evil and iniquity, he will die in his sin. And so it's clear that the Lord is upholding a clear sense of justice and morality. And I think that's a good framework and a meditation for us, because we are in a critical moment in the history of our nation. With the death of Justice Ginsburg last week, this is a moment in which the future of our nation could shift. And, we should all be praying fervently, as the balance of the Supreme Court could shift, with it, the direction morally and the legal direction of our country could change in a radical way. And in the words of Ezekiel, this is a chance for our nation to turn away from wickedness that we have committed in the past and to do what is right and just. To do the Father's will or to not do the Father's will. Among the issues at stake, there's a lot of issues that this could impact. But, of course, the major issue that everyone's aware of is Roe versus Wade, which effectively legalized abortion in our nation. Since that decision in 1973, over 60 million children have lost their lives in our country. 21% of all pregnancies have ended in abortion. Abortion has not only cost the lives, the innocent lives of many, many children, but it has also wounded the hearts of so many mothers and fathers who are living with the aftermath of that decision, and so many family members who have been affected as well. And so this is an evil in our nation that has affected so many people and caused so much harm and damage. And now is a time for their voices to be heard and for goodness to triumph in our nation, for us to turn away from iniquity and to do what is right and just. This could be a turning point, and perhaps the most important turning point in the history of the United States, because our nation has never faced an evil so great in terms of the number of people affected and the numbers of lives lost as abortion. There's probably going to be an epic fight to confirm the next Supreme Court justice, because people know how much is in the balance. And, the Democratic leadership has already said that they're going to use any means necessary to stop the nomination, whether it's impeachment or whether it's threats to pack the Supreme Court when they get power with more justices, or putting in term limits to change the composition of the Supreme Court. And it very well could aggravate the violence that we're seeing in the streets with rioting in major cities. This could definitely incite more of that. And it's also going to result in personal attacks. Judge Barrett, when she was nominated for her current position, was very shamefully attacked. And it wasn't because of her judicial philosophy or her qualifications. She was attacked because she was Catholic. That was the reason why she was attacked. One of the Democratic senators said in her last confirmation hearing, quote, "The dogma lives loudly within you, and that's of concern." Basically saying, because she was Catholic, her belief system should disqualify her from public office. Basically meaning that Catholics, if they're faithful Catholics, should not be permitted in public office and should be treated as second-class citizens. And so we should expect a lot of personal attacks like that. But this is not a time for us to surrender to bullying or intimidation or to violence or to threats. It's a time for us to do what is right and what is just, no matter what the cost is. The remedy to all this discord in our nation is not violence. And it's not turning to bullying or intimidation or attacking people because of their faith. The answer is truth. If people can come to a knowledge of truth, that is going to remedy all the discord. And so the simple question for us to ask in a situation like this, rather than intimidating people and resorting to violence, the simple question for us to ask is, when does human life begin? If we answer that question, our moral responsibility becomes very clear. At the moment of fertilization, you know, a new unique genetic code is created and DNA is formed in a new being, and a process of cell replication and human development begins, and that process continues uninterrupted through the 9 months of pregnancy, through the growth and development of that child into adulthood, into old age, and eventually until death. You know, that process begins at the moment of conception, and there is no essential change or interruption in that until the moment of death, when the soul leaves the body. Now, some people claim that inside a pregnant woman is just a mass of tissue. But what is the definition of tissue? Tissue is material which makes up an animal or a plant. And so tissue makes up an organism. So if inside a pregnant woman there's tissue, the next question is, what organism does that tissue make up? You know, what type of organism is that? Is it a bird? Is it a plant? Or is it a human child? Well, we know from the DNA that it's a human child. And that doesn't magically change at the moment of birth. You know, 5 minutes before birth and 5 minutes after birth, the only difference is 10 minutes. There's no essential change in the child. And so since we know medically and we know from moral teaching, they all agree that it is a human child, then the moral responsibility is clear. There's no ambiguity on the issue. That's a human life from the moment of conception. And Christians should have a particular appreciation for this because of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. God took flesh and united heaven to earth inside the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary at the Annunciation. And so Christians should have a particular appreciation for the sacredness of life from the moment of conception. And a mother's womb should be a sacred place, and it should be the safest place in the world. And every child should be surrounded from the moment of conception with the love of a mother. You know, the Catholic Church's teaching is very clear on this issue because of how important it is morally, and because there is no ambiguity. And the Church is teaching that abortion is a grave moral evil which no one can ever take part in any way. And for politicians are never morally permitted in good conscience to ever support abortion. Again, the Church's teaching is very clear. Some people believe that abortion liberates women from unplanned pregnancies, and therefore it's good for them. But this is a distortion of authentic femininity. Authentic femininity should cherish motherhood. Motherhood is good. Motherhood is beautiful. And motherhood is something that is uniquely feminine. And so it's not abortion that liberates women from unplanned pregnancies. It's the virtue of chastity. You know, if people reserve relations between a man and a woman to the context of marriage, where a man and a woman are open to life, then we're not going to have this issue. It's when people behave against the virtue of chastity that this becomes a problem. And so authentic manhood calls men to honor and to protect the purity of women, and not to take advantage of women for the sake of their own lust and subject them to a decision that could be so damaging as that of abortion. Real men do not give in to lust. Real men are self-disciplined, and they'll place the good of the other above their own good. Real men are going to live by the virtue of chastity. And so perhaps instead of promoting abortion, that authentic feminists should be condemning the immorality that's being promulgated by Hollywood and the pornography industry and the lust that's so present within our society, and should be spreading Catholic moral teaching, because that's what will truly uphold authentic womanhood, and it'll create a situation where women are respected and cherished. And so I encourage each one of us at this key moment in our nation's history to pray fervently and to do penance for a morally strong and virtuous justice for the Supreme Court, because this is a decision that could very well change our nation's trajectory and allow us to turn away from the iniquity of the past and to do what is right and just. And to pray not only for our justices, but also for the courage of senators to do what is right and not give in to the incredible pressure that's going to be leveled against them. Because in reality, this is not just a political issue. This is a moral issue and an issue that is that the forces of light and the forces of darkness are going to be clashing against in a very strong way. And so our prayer is critically important. And also for us to pray for a conversion of heart for those politicians who do not respect the sanctity of life, that they might come to recognize the truth of the dignity of the human person from the moment of conception to natural death.